Hello, everyone. So this is my final episode on sex. I must say that most people don't guard their hearts when it comes to sex. Most people don't guard their minds when it comes to sex. Most people don't guard their bodies when it comes to sex. Most people don't guard their souls when it comes to sex. Most people don't guard their memories when it comes to sex. Most people don't guard their taste when it comes to sex. Most people don't guard their touch when it comes to sex. Most people don't guard their hearing when it comes to sex. Most people don't guard their sight when it comes to sex. And most people don't guard their smell when it comes to sex. Sexual wrongfulness is enticing because it offers a quick route to a false sense of sexual prosperity and makes many feel like one of the sexual crowd. But when we sexually go along with others and refuse to listen to the sexual truths, our own sexual appetites become our sexual masters. And many will do anything nonsensically to sexually satisfy them. Sexual wrongfulness, even when sexually attractive, is sexually deadly. I have learned to make sexual choices not on the basis of sexual flashy appeal or sexual short-range pleasure, but in sexual view of the sexual long-range effects. Sometimes, for me, this means I'm steering clear of sexually wrong-minded people who want to sexually entice me into sexual activities that I know are sexually wrong. I can't be sexually friendly with sexual wrongfulness and not expect my sex life to remain sexually unaffected. Most people don't guard their mouths when it comes to sex. Most people don't guard their tongues when it comes to sex. Most people don't guard their lips when it comes to sex. Most people don't guard their speech when it comes to sex. I have truly have taken the time to understand that if we're not careful, sexually speaking, today's sexual thrill could lead to tomorrow's sexual ruin. I don't think only of the sexual moments. I focus on the sexual future. While respecting the affects and effects of the sexual present moments that I'm currently in. I recognize that in my sexual past, I am fortunate that I can still feel sexual desire, but I feel sexual desire correctly instead of incorrectly like back then. I recognize from my sexual past, I am fortunate that I have maintained my ability to fulfill commitments, but I don't have a warped sense of commitments nor a false sense of commitments like I did back then. I now fulfill reasonable, sane commitments. In my sexual past, I am fortunate I have escaped disease, infections, unwanted pregnancies, unwanted children, but my being entirely open with my partners of my past was immoral and is immoral. Now I'm entirely open when it comes to sexual partnerships of mine. With discretion and with insightfulness. I was fortunate that despite my sexual past, I never lost my capability of trust. It was definitely misplaced back then. Now it's properly placed, suitably placed. I recognize that yes, the adults and children of my sexual past were scarred. Let me explain so you won't think I've committed any sex crimes, because I never have, never will. I'm talking about my being in sexually involved with women, some of them that were already within committed relationships, and they were already biological mothers. I never abused the children any kind of way. They never abused me in any kind of way. Their life partners never abused me in any kind of way, never abused them in any kind of way. But yes, I understand that There was family devastation because of what me and them were doing. But the saving grace about all that is that I no longer am placed in sexually unsuitable scenarios. Now I can have a sex life that scars no one and devastates no one. I am officially incapable of wrong sexual desires because I have decided to have a healthy sense of sexual vulnerability. Back then, it was massively unhealthy. Now, it's healthy. I keep away from counterproductive, unproductive sexual media. I keep away from unnecessary and needless sexual situations. I keep myself from fruitless, non-nurturing sexual environments. I keep myself away from meaningless and pointless sexual habits. And I stay away from senseless and foolish sexual events. Ridiculous sexual things, I keep away from that too. Because I don't live a life of being without sexual aim or sexual direction. Because that is sexual emptiness, sexual superficiality, sexual hollowness, sexual shallowness. And it's all sexual futility. It's sexually futile. I keep myself away from sexual ill-gotten gain and sexual ill-gotten treasures. They're not treasurable nor pleasurable to me at all whatsoever. Here are two sets of reasons why I very rarely have sex. Because I'm an extraordinary individual, most people would make me feel verbally abandoned when it comes to sex, verbally deserted when it comes to sex, verbally desolate when it comes to sex, verbally destitute when it comes to sex, verbally desperate when it comes to sex, verbally empty when it comes to sex, verbally unused when it comes to sex, verbally vacated when it comes to sex, verbally left when it comes to sex, verbally neglected when it comes to sex, verbally relinquished when it comes to sex, verbally lonely when it comes to sex, verbally forsaken when it comes to sex, verbally solitary when it comes to sex, verbally hopeless when it comes to sex, verbally cast off when it comes to sex, verbally cast aside when it comes to sex, verbally cast away when it comes to sex, verbally forgotten when it comes to sex, verbally shunned when it comes to sex verbally for alone, when it comes to sex verbally avoided, when it comes to sex verbally outcast, when it comes to sex verbally rejected, when it comes to sex verbally helpless, when it comes to sex verbally unfortunate, when it comes to sex verbally alone, when it comes to sex verbally discarded, when it comes to sex verbally scorned, when it comes to sex verbally lost, when it comes to sex verbally doomed, when it comes to sex verbally friendless, when it comes to sex verbally wretched, when it comes to sex verbally thrown overboard, when it comes to sex verbally out on a limb, when it comes to sex verbally left in a lurch, when it comes to sex verbally in the cold, when it comes to sex verbally left holding the bag, when it comes to sex in I would never feel verbally inhabited when it comes to sex with them. I would never feel verbally befriended when it comes to sex with them. And I would never feel verbally in use when it comes to sex with them. Second and final sets of reasons why I very rarely have sex is because when it comes to myself being an extraordinary individual, most people would make me feel non-verbally abolished when it comes to sex, non-verbally suppressed when it comes to sex, non-verbally repressed when it comes to sex, non-verbally eradicated when it comes to sex, non-verbally terminated when it comes to sex, non-verbally exterminated when it comes to sex, non-verbally obliterated when it comes to sex, non-verbally annulled when it comes to sex, non-verbally removed when it comes to sex, non-verbally revoked when it comes to sex, non-verbally ended when it comes to sex, non-verbally finished when it comes to sex, non-verbally nullified when it comes to sex, non-verbally set aside when it comes to sex, non-verbally annihilated when it comes to sex, non-verbally repealed when it comes to sex, non-verbally subverted when it comes to sex, non-verbally reversed when it comes to sex, non-verbally rescinded when it comes to sex, non-verbally prohibited when it comes to sex, non-verbally extinguished when it comes to sex, non-verbally canceled when it comes to sex, non-verbally erased when it comes to sex, non-verbally rooted out when it comes to sex, non-verbally pulled up when it comes to sex, non-verbally uprooted when it comes to sex, non-verbally demolished when it comes to sex, non-verbally invalidated when it comes to sex, non-verbally overturned when it comes to sex, non-verbally overthrown when it comes to sex, non-verbally declared null and void when it comes to sex, non-verbally do away with me when it comes to sex, non-verbally stamped out when it comes to sex, non-verbally undone when it comes to sex, non-verbally thrown out when it comes to sex, non-verbally put an end to me when it comes to sex, non-verbally inhibited when it comes to sex, non-verbally dispensed with me when it comes to sex, non-verbally cut out when it comes to sex, non-verbally raised, R-A-Z-E-D, when it comes to sex, non-verbally squelched when it comes to sex, non-verbally ravaged when it comes to sex, and non-verbally destroyed when it comes to sex. Sexual silver tongues and sexual flattery never works on me. I can honestly say that sexual temptation is no longer an issue for me because I am so sensitized to sexual consequences that I can live a life where, sexually speaking, I don't let myself be sexually gassed up, and I don't let anybody sell me any sexual pipe dreams either. And to be honest with you, I choose to live a life where, sexually speaking, I refrain from sexual moral pitfalls and sexual traps. I didn't know how to do that back then, but because I'm sexually self-taught in all the sexually right ways of sexually existing and sexually living, I'm also sensitive to sexual aftermaths, too. Sexual effects are byproducts of sexual defects. Sexual effects is another byproduct of sexual defects, too. I've learned that external attractiveness without inner beauty is despicable to me. Because not everybody who is good looking is good for my inner life and my outer life. I am not a person that is easily seduced by bodily enticement. Erotic enticement and sensual enticement, I don't allow myself to fall sexually prey to those things. And then as I have matured, I don't live a life of doing sexually wrong and trying to get away with it. I don't have the "it won't sexually matter, nobody will sexually know, or we won't get sexually caught" mentalities. Because sexually wrong behavior does not lead to sexual success. It leads only to more sexual wrongfulness. Real sexual success maintains personal sexual upstandingness. That is true sexual success. And as I have truly sexually grown as a human being, I also learned this. Sexually prudent people have a sexually quiet confidence. Sexually insecure or sexually uncertain people feel the need to sexually prove themselves, but sexually prudent people don't have to sexually prove anything. They know they are sexually capable, so they can get on with their sexual work. Beware of sexually showing off. If you are sexually modest, meaning that you are of sexual inner beauty, people may not sexually notice you at first, but they will sexually respect you later. I've learned that sexually living right is like posting a sexual guard for your life. Every sexual choice for sexually good sets into sexual motion other sexual opportunities for sexual good. Sexually wrong choices follow the same sexual pattern, but in the sexually opposite direction. Each sexual decision you make to sexually live above reproach will bring a greater sexual sense of sexual order to your sex life, while each sexual decision to forego sexually living above reproach will bring sexual confusion and sexual ruination. The sexually right choices you make reflect your sexual solid character. Sexual mindfulness brings the greatest sexual safety and sexual security. Our sexual attitudes color our whole sexual personality. We cannot always sexually choose what sexually happens to us, but we can sexually choose our sexual attitude towards each situation. The sexual secret to a sexually cheerful heart is filling our sexual minds with sexual thoughts that are rooted within the sexual golden rule, the sexual silver rule, and the sexual platinum rule. Allow me to tell you what that means. The sexual golden rule is the sexual principle of sexually treating others as one would sexually want to be sexually treated by them. It is sometimes called a sexual ethics of sexual reciprocity, meaning that you should sexually reciprocate to others how you would sexually like them to sexually treat you. And be concerned about how they actually sexually treat you. So in other words, sexually treat others as you would like others to sexually treat you. Do not sexually treat others in sexual ways that you would sexually not like to be sexually treated. What you sexually wish upon others, you sexually wish upon yourself. Okay, let's put it this way. Do not sexually treat others the sexual ways you would not sexually like them to sexually treat you. State another sexual way. If you don't want fill in the blank sexual done to you, don't do fill in the blank sexual to someone else. And then there is what I call the sexual platinum rule. Which simply means the sexual platinum rule says, sexually treat them as they'd like to be sexually treated. Sexually treat others as they sexually want to be treated. Here's what I call the sexual rhodium rule. Sexually think about the entire sexual ecosystem. Again, the sexual rhodium rule. Sexually think about the entire sexual ecosystem. In the sexual diamond rule, you sexually treat others as they sexually wish you to sexually treat them. The sexual bronze rule. If they are not sexually bothering you, don't sexually bother them. The sexual titanium rule. Sexually treat people better than they sexually expect to be sexually treated. The sexual brass rule. Sexually do unto others as they sexually do unto you. The sexual wooden rule. Sexually do unto others what they sexually do to you. The sexual double platinum rule. Sexually treat others the sexual ways they don't even sexually know they sexually want to be sexually treated. I warn against the sexual iron rule that says sexual might makes sexual right. I value the sexual law of the return. You sexually reap what you sexually sow. If you don't sexually like the sexual ways people give you sexual feedback, don't sexually give them sexual feedback that way. So those are the kinds of sexual thoughts that dwell in the sexual good things in life. That's my sexual secret. It's no longer a sexual secret now. As I continue to enjoy my erotic restoration, and hopefully it can be yours, as we face the sexual struggles of sexual daily living. Look at your sexual attitudes and then sexually examine what you sexually allow to enter your sexual mind and what you sexually choose to sexually dwell on. You may sexually need to make some sexual changes. What we sexually feed our sexual minds is just this What we sexually feed our sexual minds is sexually just as sexually important as what we sexually feed our sexual bodies, the kinds of sexual books we read, the people we sexually talk with, the sexual music we listen to, and the sexual films we sexually watch are all a part of our sexual mental diet. Be sexually discerning, because who and what you sexually feed your sexual mind sexually influences your total sexual health and sexual well-being. That's a strong sexual desire to discover sexual knowledge is a sexual mark of sexual wisdom. Sexual discovery. And here are the questions that people need to ask themselves regarding sexual wholesomeness. We must sexually capture every sexual thought and sexually yield it to the sexual platinum rule. When exposed to sexual ideas or sexual opportunities that might sexually lead to sexual corruption, you have a sexual choice. You can recognize sexual danger and sexually turn away, or you can allow sexually unhealthy thoughts to take you sexually captive. You sexually capture your sexual fantasies and sexual desires when you sexually honestly admit them to yourself and ask yourself to sexually redirect your sexual thinking. Ask yourself to give yourself the sexual spirit of sexual redemption, to keep your sexual thoughts focused on sexually good manners. We have to submit our sexual thoughts to the control of the sexual golden rule. And I want this to be understood. What we put into our sexual minds determines what comes out in our sexual words and sexual actions. We have to program our sexual minds with sexual thoughts that are sexually true, sexually noble, sexually right, sexually integrous, sexually lovely, sexually admirable, sexually adorable, sexually excellent, sexually praiseworthy, sexually noteworthy. Do you have sexual problems with sexually incorrect thoughts and incorrect sexual daydreams and sexual nightmares? Sexually examine what you're putting to your sexual mind through sexual television, sexual internet, sexual books, sexual conversations, sexual movies, and sexual magazines. Replace sexual harmful input with sexually wholesome material. Above all, master the sexual silver rule. Ask yourself to help you sexually focus your sexual mind on what is sexually good and sexually appropriate. It takes sexual practice, but it can be sexually done. To what are you sexually drawn? And to whom are you sexually drawn when you feel sexual nothingness inside? How can you find sexually true contentment? The sexual answer lies in your sexual perspective, your sexual priorities, and your sexual source of power. Often, the insatiable desire for sex every chance you get is really a sexual longing to feel a sexually empty place in a person's sex life. We have to detach ourselves from the sexual non-essentials so that we can concentrate on making sure we have nutritious sexual legacy. We have to focus on what we must sexually do that's sexually correct, not what we always feel like we should sexually have. We have to have our sexual priorities straight. I am sexually content because I can see my sex life from sexual right-mindedness's point of view. I am sexually content in any sexual circumstances I face. I know how to be sexually content, whether I have sexual plenty or whether I am in sexual need. My sexual peace is different from society's warped, false version of sexual peace. My sexual true peace is not found in sexual positive thinking, even though that's needed, and absence of sexual conflict, even though that would be ideal, or in sexually good feelings, even though there is room for that. My sexual peace comes from knowing that I can be a sexually good role model to myself and to the countless others in our globe. My sexual inner attitudes do not always have to reflect my outward sexual circumstances. That's an important sexual lesson that I've taught myself. I guard my sexual moral fiber from sexually unpleasant circumstances and sexually unimportant events and functions. I remove the sexual desire for sexual greed and sexual vanity and sexual hubris and the bad kind of sexual pride, because I recognize that that was what the sexual traumatizers of my childhood wanted me to sexually operate myself to live, to sexually live out. Okay, here are the questions that people should sexually ask themselves. I just remembered. How can the media better or worsen my relationship with sex? Why have I rejected healthy sexual media, parentheses, communication? Why have I rejected healthy sexual advertising media? Why have I rejected healthy sexual broadcast media? Why have I rejected healthy sexual digital media? Why have I rejected healthy sexual electronic media? Why have I rejected healthy sexual hypermedia? Why have I rejected healthy sexual interactive media? Why have I rejected healthy sexual mass media? Why have I rejected healthy sexual multimedia? Why have I rejected healthy sexual new media? Why have I rejected healthy sexual news media? Why have I rejected healthy sexual print media? Why have I rejected healthy sexual published media? Why have I rejected healthy sexual recording mediums? Why have I rejected the healthy sexual content that's on social media? Why have I rejected healthy sexual art media? Why have I rejected healthy sexual media player software, in parentheses? Why have I rejected healthy sexual storage media? Are all these forms of sexual media worsening my relationship with sex or bettering my relationship with sex? And are all these forms of sexual media, do they help insert my relationship with sex, or do they help keep out my relationship with sex? Why have I rejected healthy sexual documentaries? Why have I rejected healthy sexual music? Why have I rejected healthy adult films? Why have I rejected healthy adult erotica? Those are the questions that people need to ask themselves. And people need to ask themselves these questions. Am I masturbating to high quality hearted people, or am I masturbating to ridiculous humans? Are my sexual desires, sexual fantasies, sexual needs, do they come from being sexually fractured or being sexually holistic? People need to ask themselves these questions. People need to also ask themselves these questions. Are my wet dreams, nocturnal emissions, and sexual daydreams, and sexual thoughts, sexual feelings, sexual deeds, and sexual verbiage, and sexual nonverbal body language. Do they come from a place of being like sexually complete, or do they come from a place of being sexually diced into smithereens? People need to ask themselves these questions. People need to also ask themselves these other questions. Is the sexual who in my life morally right? Is the sexual what of my life morally right? Is the sexual when of my life morally right? Is the sexual why of my life morally right? Is the sexual witch of my life, W-H-I-C-H, morally right? Is the sexual where of my life morally right? Is the sexual how of my life morally right? People need to ask themselves those questions. Those seven sexual journalistic questions. And then, last set of questions that people usually don't ask themselves. If I make lousy sexual decisions, will that cause sexual cruelty to myself and others? Will that cause sexual brutality to myself and others? Will that cause sexual barbarity to myself and others? Will that cause sexual sadism to myself and others? Will that cause sexual inhumanity to myself and others? Will that cause sexual barbarism to myself and others? Will that cause sexual mercilessness to myself and others? Will that cause sexual wickedness to myself and others? Will that cause sexual coarseness to myself and others? Will that cause sexual ruthlessness to myself and others? Will that cause sexual severity to myself and others? Will that cause sexual malice to myself and others? Will that cause sexual rancor to myself and others? Will that cause sexual venom to myself and others? Will that cause sexual poison to myself and others? Will that cause sexual toxicity to myself and others? Will that cause sexual difficulty to myself and others? Will that cause sexual negativity to myself and others? Will that cause sexual coldness to myself and others? Will that cause sexual cold-heartedness to myself and others? Will that cause sexual cold-bloodedness to myself and others? Will that cause sexual unfeelingness to myself and others? Will that be sexually uncaring to myself and others? Will that be sexually unthinking to myself and others? Will that be sexual insensibility to myself and others? Will I be sexually desensitized to myself and others? Will I be sexually insensitive to myself and others? Is that sexual indifference to myself and others? Is that sexual fierceness to myself and others? Is that sexual bestiality to myself and others? Is that sexual ferocity to myself and others? Is that sexual savagery to myself and others? Is that sexual grimness to myself and others? Is that sexual monstrousness to myself and others? Is that sexual inflexibility to myself and others? Is that sexual fiendishness to myself and others? Is that sexual hardness of heart to myself and others? Is that sexual hard-heartedness to myself and others? Is that sexual bloodthirstiness to myself and others? Is that sexual torture to myself and others? Is that sexual torment to myself and others? Is that sexual relentlessness to myself and others? Is that being sexually unrelenting to myself and others? Is that sexual persecution to myself and others? Is that sexual harshness to myself and others? Is that sexual heartlessness to myself and others? Is that sexual atrocity to myself and others? Is that sexual evil to myself and others? Is that sexual tyranny to myself and others? Is that the enemy of sexual kindness to myself and others? Is that the enemy of sexual benevolence to myself and others? Is that the enemy of sexual humanity to myself and others? Why be sexually cruelly? Why be sexually savagely? Why be sexually inhumanly? Why be sexually viciously? Why be sexually brutally? Don't be sexually cruel. Don't be sexually malevolent. Don't be sexually spiteful. Don't be sexually depraved. Don't be sexually wicked. Don't be sexually vengeful. Don't be sexually evil. Don't be sexually degenerate. Don't be sexually brutish. Don't be sexually demonic. Don't be sexually outrageous. Don't be sexually tyrannical. Don't be sexually gross. Don't be sexually demoralized. Don't be sexually evil-minded. Don't be sexually vicious. Don't be sexually brutal. Don't be sexually rough in all the bad ways. Don't be sexually wild in all the bad ways. Don't be sexually bestial. Don't be sexually ferocious. Don't be sexually monstrous. Don't be sexually demoniac. Don't be sexually debased. Don't be sexually destructive. Don't be sexually harmful. Don't be sexually mischievous. Don't be sexually callous. Don't be sexually unnatural, meaning don't be a sexual living breathing nightmare. Don't be sexually merciless. Don't be sexually sadistic. Don't be sexually pitying. Don't be sexually merciful. Don't be sexually unyielding. Don't be sexually remorseless. Don't be sexually pitiless. Don't be sexually without regret, meaning be capable of growing from sexual regrets. Don't be sexually pitiless. Don't be sexually unfeeling. Don't be sexually inflexible. Don't be sexually bloodthirsty. Don't be sexually unrelenting. Don't be sexually relentless. Don't be sexually grim. Don't be sexually inhuman. Don't be sexually inhumane. Don't be sexually atrocious. Don't be sexually harsh. Don't be sexually heartless. Don't be sexually mindless. Don't be sexually soulless. Don't be sexually stony. Don't be sexually unconcerned. Don't be sexually showing no mercy. Don't be sexually turning a blind eye. Don't be sexually turning a deaf ear. Don't be sexually hard as nails. Be sexually merciful. Be sexually kindly. Be sexually compassionate. I will also say that as you know, I'm a sex positive feminist. As you know, I'm a sex positive movement member. I'm into sex positivity. And as you know, I'm into comprehensive sexuality education. So you know where I stand on sex. I'm just helping us develop ways that we can be sexually high brain powered. That's all I'm saying. And most people are not masturbation material to me because most people are copycats of our global society. That's why I rarely masturbate. That's why I rarely have sexual daydreams, sexual fantasies, sexual dreams, wet dreams, nocturnal emissions. And most porn and most erotica teach people how to be of sexual egomania. I love porn erotica, but I haven't found any porn erotica that teaches people how to be sexually civilized from a sexual human rights standpoint. That's why I don't watch most porn, most erotic anyway. And I very rarely date, because most people are the type of people that are easily sexually swayed in any sexual direction. And plus, I am sensitized to sexual double-mindedness, sexual double dealing, sexual double dipping, and sexual double living. And a lot of people do those things. And I must say this. So many people in our society are sexual hypocrites, sexual pretenders, sexual frauds, sexual fakers, sexual deceivers, sexual charlatans, sexual bigots, sexual quacks, sexual pharisees, sexual shams, sexual actors, sexual actresses. I'm not talking about porn, I'm talking about being sexual phonies, sexual cheats, sexual informers, the bad kind, sexual tricksters, sexual confidence people, sexual cons, sexual malingerers, sexual humbugs, sexual imposters, sexual impersonators, all the bad kinds, sexual swindlers, sexual rascals, sexual traitors, sexual wolves in sheep's clothing, sexual masqueraders, sexual four-fleshers, sexual two-timers, sexually two-faced, sexual fakes. They are sexual bad trees bearing sexually bad fruits. They're not the sexual good trees bearing sexually good fruits. They are sexual snakes. They're sexual brood of sexual vipers. They are sexual whitewashed tombs. They are sly like a fox, sexually speaking. They are sexually hypocritical, sexually deceptive, sexually insincere, sexually dishonest. They engage in sexual hypocrisy, sexual affectation, sexual deception, sexual bad faith. I mean that non-religiously. Sexual hollowness, sexual display, the bad kind, sexual lip service, sexual bigotry, sexual pretense of virtue, sexual quackery, sexual empty ceremony, sexual sanctimony, sexual they're just sexually fraudulent. And they are the type of people who pretend to be sexually pious, sexually virtuous, etc., without sexually really being so. They are sexually pretending to be what they are sexually not, or to sexually feel what they sexually do not feel. They are sexual plaster saints, plain and simple. they are sexually scandalous, and they are even scandalous when it comes to sex work. So in closing, I say this. I sexually think before I sexually speak. I sexually think before I sexually do. I sexually think before I sexually feel. I sexually think before I sexually think. I sexually think before I sexually act. And I sexually think before I make any sexual selection. I'm sexual quality over sexual quantity. I'm not erotically overindulgent. I don't engage in erotic extreme asceticism. I'm not sensually overindulgent. I'm not into sensual extreme asceticism. I'm not sexually overindulgent. I'm not into sexual extreme asceticism either. It would be I don't engage in any sexual extremities. For me, I don't deprive myself of any sexual partner. At the same time, I don't pursue countless sexual partners like there's no tomorrow either. My very last sexual statement. I respect sex, and sex respects me.